This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The seat that I am running for is seat one that happens to be the chair. Mm-hmm. Now, according to the Board of Education's editorial that they just printed in the paper, it's really not that big of a deal to be a chair. You just basically open and close the meeting.
Joyce Riefstack, with whom we spoke last week, candidates forum in Oconee County. Many of you were there. Turns out some of you weren't. And so we bring her into our studio this morning. Joyce Riefstack versus Michael Ransom for that seat that opens with the chair position on the Oconee County School Board opens as Kim Argo, the current chair, does not run for re-election this year. The primary election in May. Joyce Riefstack, thanks for rolling in this morning.
Thank you, Tim. It's great to be here.
All right, we'll get into the why and the wherefores of this particular job, because there's a lot that we can, a lot of ground to cover here on that alone. But let's talk about you personally, professionally. What's the day job and what's the resume?
I have had a very varied career that started out in engineering, and I kind of fell backwards into advertising. I was working at an engineering firm, and a big government project that we were working on got cut. And this was back in the day before AutoCAD had even been invented. And I had taken a lot of drafting and drawing classes. So they put me in the parts book division, where I drew the schematic drawings to tell people how to fix and repair the different engines and the different products that we were working on. And ads started to come across my desk. And I started looking at fonts and colors and different design elements. And they ended up sending me back to school where, in addition to my engineering degree, I now have a degree. I then got a degree in advertising, marketing,
now,
journalism.
Was all that here or something?
No, this was a million years ago.
Okay.
This is when I first got out of college.
Which was where?
Please don't tell anybody. University of Tennessee.
Okay.
But I came to my senses. We're Georgia dogs now.
How long have you been here?
We moved about 20 years ago.
We being your husband, Fred, I think you said his name was.
Right.
Dr. Riefstack in studio with us as well. All right. Why this? Why the Oconee County School Board? Why now?
Oconee County has fantastic schools. We have really great teachers. We have parents that are really, really involved. We have kids that really excel. I started to deal a lot with the school board when my son started school, and I've been sort of on the other side of the desk, as it were, for many years. And he's finally to the point where he's independent. He's, you know, 16 now. So I have a little bit of time to spend, you know.
Where's he in school?
I actually homeschool my
right.
son. So that took a lot of time, a lot of energy, and it was well worth it. I know you're thinking, why in the world? You just got through saying how great Oconee County schools are. Why in the world would you take your child out of one of the greatest school systems probably in the country? And there were two reasons that I ended up, and it was a very, very hard decision. My father-in-law was a teacher, coach, principal, and finally a school superintendent. My husband and I both teach different types of classes, him through the university, me, I was a teacher for 13 years. So when we took our son out of school, it was really hard. We sat in the parking lot and cried.
How old was he at the time?
He was sixth grade turning to seventh grade, so the first year of middle school. But it was one of the hardest decisions we've ever made as a couple, as a family. And like I said, we sat in the parking lot and cried, can't believe we're doing this. But things for my son had gotten so out of hand, and there were two main things that were going on at the time that led us to take our son out of school. One was what we call the overuse of testing. He was being tested. And I'm not saying, you know,
not just him, all the other students, too, as we discussed at the forum last week.
But not like the spelling test at the end of the week or the math test at the end of the chapter.
But the standardized test.
The standardized test, they were doing the standardized test four times a year. And I get once a year. I get maybe twice a year, but four times a year to us was just too much. They were so focused on the testing all the time. They even had pep rallies for the tests. And what we were seeing is that he was learning all this information just for the test, and then he felt like he could just forget it all. And it wasn't a true classroom teaching learning situation going on. It became all about the tests. So another one of the reasons that we took him out was what we consider the overuse of screen time. When I first started out in advertising, I was an analyst and I projected trends. And I've always been really good at seeing trends and forecasting. When 16 years ago, when I was expecting my son, we went to visit with his pediatrician. And the first thing he warned us about, this was 16 years ago, the first thing he warned us about was screen time. He's like, don't fall into the trap of using, you know, your phone as a babysitter or letting your kid sit in front of screens all day. The American Academy of Pediatrics is already warning people screen time is too much. It's damaging kids' brain. It's causing screen addiction. It's just really not good for kids. And when the Chromebooks appeared, we opted him out of the Chromebooks use, but there aren't textbooks anymore. I mean, it's amazing if you walk.
So it's Chromebooks or nothing. So it's Chromebooks or nothing.
So it was really, really hard for him to be the only kid in the class who didn't have a Chromebook. But we believed, and you know, we come from a long line of teachers. That's just not the best way for learning to take place. So I had actually started some groups on Facebook so parents could opt out of the Chromebook, teach parents how to opt out of all this testing. And the really interesting thing was, although I heard from a lot of parents, I heard from a lot of teachers. And the teachers were saying to me, what you're doing is fantastic, but I cannot say publicly that I agree with you. We think that the testing is abusive, it's out of hand, it's gotten out of control. We agree with you 100%, but we're afraid to say anything.
All right, Joyce Riefstack, candidate to be the next chair of the Oconee County School. We're going to hit a break, but I want to get this in first and give you about a minute to deal with this. As I didn't know this, that you had taken your son out of schools in Oconee County, homeschooling your son now. I don't know. If I'm playing devil's advocate for a moment, I would say, wait a minute, you're running to be on the Board of Education, the Oconee County Schools, and having voted with your own son, effectively, pulling him out of schools, that indicates a lack of confidence, a lack of trust in the school system that you would represent. Do you understand how philosophically, conceptually, people might see a problem with that?
And that's why philosophically and conceptually I'm running for school board, because more and more people like me are seeing all the testing, all the pressure that we're putting on kids. Oh, my goodness, kids are under so much pressure, and we're just piling more and more and more on with kids, and it's not good for the kids, it's not good for their mental health, and that's why I'm here.
Joyce Riefstack, candidate for a seat on the Oconee County School Board. Again, the election, a primary, is in May 21st, with early voting that will start on April 20th.
I think a lot of people don't realize that over 90% of our budget is salaries. So, you know,
and those are kind of locked in, right, for the most part.
For the most part, that is. So if something comes down from the state that says, you know, Governor Kemp right now is talking about a pay raise, that's something that we don't really have a whole lot of options to do. If he says you're giving this, we give it.
But Michael Ransom, he's on the Oconee County School Board now, running to be the next chair. We spoke with him at a candidates forum last week in Oconee County. He's running to replace Kim Argo, who's not seeking re-election as chair of the Oconee County School Board. Michael Ransom, and opposing Ransom, running for that same chair post, is Joyce Riefstack in studio with us this morning, continuing our conversation. And this a piece of legislation, local legislation, pushed by members of the local delegation that will change the way, among other things, will change the way the school board chair is selected, would be appointed by other members of the board, as opposed to being chosen by the voters. Where are you on that?
So I believe you're talking about HB 1496. Is that correct? So I've been studying that for a little while, and I'm finding a lot of contradictions in what people are saying and what the legislation itself is about. So I'm running for chair. I want to be the chair of the school board. And one of the things that the editorial that the Board of Education put out stated that the chair has no special authority or power. other than to preside over the formal meetings and to work closely with the superintendent to establish meeting agendas. So on one side, they're saying, you know, this is not a big deal. It's just somebody run meetings, set the agenda. But on the other side, they're putting together this piece of legislation that's very confusing. And the way this came about seems a little bit odd. This the way they've been doing it, I believe, they've been doing it since 1964. And suddenly, urgently, they needed to change that. And I find a lot of people coming to me and saying things, and I hate to go on hearsay, and I hate to go on rumors and innuendo, but I can't get a straight answer from anybody. I qualified on a Friday. There was a meeting on Sunday, and this legislation was introduced on Monday. And I've spoken with several county employees about it who asked to remain anonymous. There we go, people scared again to speak up. Who said, you know, you need to contact your legislators. So I did. I've been placing calls to Mr. Wiedor and Mr. Gaines, and specifically stating what I wanted to find out about, and they haven't returned my calls. So what's really strange is in November on the ballot, you're going to have to choose. You're going to vote for the chairman of the school board. It's called Post One Chair. But also on that same ballot is going to be an absolute contradiction of that, where you're going to vote to not have the chair that you just voted to have the chair. Do you see what I'm saying,
yeah,
Tim?
It's a conundrum. Maybe I need some clarification on this, too. But my understanding is, first of all, this would not affect this year's election.
Yes.
But it would affect, I suppose, what would happen after January 1st of 2025? In other words, it sounds like, if I'm reading this one way, it sounds like you would be, if you were to win, you'd be the chair elect and then never get to be the chair.
Exactly. So on the very same ballot, you're electing a chair and then you're passing this legislation that you're unelecting the person that you just elected.
You would become then a school board member.
Right.
As opposed to being the school board chair or Michael Ransom or Hedewig.
Right. And then at probably the first meeting or whatever, they would just elect a chair amongst themselves, which actually is probably a good business practice. And I think
which,
that
by
most,
the way, is how I'm told 80% of the school
exactly.
boards do it.
So it's a great idea. So why did it suddenly have to happen this way in this hastily put together manner when they had years and years to figure this out? So to me, it just seems odd, and nobody will bother to return one of my phone calls to tell me how did this come about. And honestly, if you look at the logistics of it, it seems like the whole purpose of this was to keep me from being the chair.
Joyce Riefstack, candidate to be the chair on the Oconee County School Board. Another part of that, by the way, is House Bill 1496 that deals with vacancies. That would have the person who would be appointed. If I'm elected to the school board and I serve a year or two and then I resign, the school board appoints my replacement to fill the unexpired part of my term. They would say, as they would look to appoint you to replace me, they say, okay, we'll appoint you, but you have to agree to run in the next election for the job full time, a stipulation that he would place on someone who would be a prospective replacement for a departed school board member. Any thoughts on that?
I think that's a really good idea. What I don't like is they seem to be taking a play from our federal legislators and lumping things together. I really don't like when things are lumped together.
Those really are two different things, aren't they?
They really are, yeah. And it seems to me that they should be two separate items on the ballot. So I don't understand why it got lumped together the way it did. And the whole thing to me, just there's no logic here.
No logic, she says. Again, Joyce Reese.
Sorry.
But you say you're actually supportive of the notion of this, but you don't want it lumped in with the other thing about the selection of the chair.
And so it shouldn't be lumped all on this November ballot because the changes would take effect January 1, 2025. So that affects the term of whoever is elected chair, which I'm hoping will be me. But like I said, you're electing me as the chair, and then farther on down the ballot, you're unelecting the chair. I think the Oconee Enterprise said it best. It's insulting to the voters. That was in their editorial recently. Mm-hmm. It feels like shenanigans. It feels like, you know, they're trying to pull something over on us. It might be actually perfectly innocent, but from the looks of things, it's just hard to figure out what the intention is.
Joyce Riefstadt, candidate to the next chair of the Oconee County School Board. You qualified to run in a Republican primary. People are asking, so I'll ask you, are you a Republican?
Well, it's funny that you ask that because, yes, I'm a Republican, but here's something that really bothers me. All through my childhood when we studied government and physics, what did we learn? We learned that our votes are sacred and they're secret, right? But I've seen all this dust up with some other candidates that ran as Democrats, and people went back and found their voting records. So, you know, our votes aren't secret anymore.
Well, I mean, what
that
they
bothers
find
me.
Is what they can Wait, find. Well, you voted in a Democrat primary. You voted
right.
in a Republican primary.
But based on that, people are deciding if you're Democratic enough or Republican enough. I'm a Republican. I'm conservative. I am very fiscally conservative. That's why I'm here. I want my tax dollars to count. A while ago, you mentioned that I homeschool my son, and I just want to let everybody know, when you homeschool, when you take your child out of school to either go to private school or homeschool, or you know, maybe you live in an area that has a charter school, you're still paying those taxes. Mm-hmm. My child, even though he is not going to school physically in the brick-and-mortar Oconee County schools, he is an Oconee County school student. Mm-hmm. And my tax dollars are still going to the Oconee County schools. And one of the things that I think we really need to open our eyes and look at is the world is changing really quickly. And I think there might be some unpleasant changes coming. And people want the option for alternative education. People want to look at private school or homeschool. A lot of people are very happy in public school, and that's great. Our Georgia legislature just passed, forgive me, I'm trying to find, it's the Senate Bill 233, and I see that Georgia is moving toward accepting more alternative forms of education, which doesn't mean has to be a loss for the schools. It doesn't have to be a loss
of
money.
You're talking about the so-called voucher bill.
Right. Now, that's not going to apply to us here in Oconee County, but you can see that we're moving that direction. Georgia Virtual School is a system that is used by public high schools. Our schools here in Oconee County use Georgia Virtual School. And a lot of parents are finding a combination of different types of learning are what's best for their children. And as taxpayers, I would really like to see a certain amount of credence or respect given to alternative forms of education in Oconee County.
I know it came to be known in Florida as the Tim Tebow law, and there's some version of it in Georgia. Part of this is none of my business in terms of what your kid may be doing, but there are those stipulations in Georgia law now that if your kid or some other kid is being homeschooled, but I'd still like to play football. I'd still like to play in the band. That's an option for them, is it not?
Yes, it is, and it's a great option. If your child wants to do an extracurricular activity, they need to take a class at the school so that they're there for some class during the day. Okay. It could be PE or weightlifting mm-hmm. or something like that, and then they can participate in the extracurriculars. So I like that direction that we're going with this. We're moving in the right direction. And I think there are clever, creative, collaborative ways that don't have to cost a lot of money where we can serve all of Oconee County students, not just the ones in the brick-and-mortar buildings.
You know, I think back about a minute left here, Joyce Riefstadt, candidate for Oconee County School Board Chair. I don't know, 7-8 years ago, whenever it was. You're sitting in that car having just decided to pull your son out of school and into now the homeschool setting. Somewhere in the back of your mind then, this notion of someday I'm going to run for school board and affect change here. When did that begin to become a thing for you that you thought about?
That was a really big part of it. It started a few years earlier when I started to go and speak at school board meetings. And I was frustrated at the response I got. I was frustrated at the attitude that I was being shown. From the minute you call in to try to get on the agenda to speak, you get pushback. They want to know, why are you going to speak? Is this something that you can work out with your child's principal at school? They really don't want you in there. That's the attitude I felt, that they really didn't want me in there. And I've been talking to a lot of parents, and so many people are telling me the same thing, that they're becoming increasingly frustrated with interacting with the school board. And people are using words like arrogant and self-important and secretive. And I don't think those words should I don't think the people are that way. I think they're nice people. They're trying to do a good job. But somewhere along the line, this kind of culture has developed of secrecy and fear, and I would like to see that removed.
Joyce, about like 10 seconds here. You online someplace, Facebook or someplace?
Joyce Reifstek, J-O-Y-C-E-R-E-I-F like Fred, S like Sam, T-E-C-K. Find me on Facebook. Your comments, your questions will be anonymous.
Joyce Reifstek, thanks for dropping in this morning. Best of luck on the campaign trail.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.